Hi, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Stars Cash, with another great Wednesday night show. Tonight, we're going to do a topic. And if you'll recall, long ago, I used to do topics every week, and they're kind of fun. You know, they allow us to express ourselves, and I always have somebody with me that can do it. But first of all, I want to tell everybody that the magazine is up, the new issue, the May issue for mysticlivingtoday.com. Go there, lots of good stuff. As usual, I say that every month, but it's true. I mean, I spend a lot of time doing it. There's beautiful pictures in there, poetry, excerpts, articles, features, press releases, just so many good things are there. So go visit it at mysticlivingtoday.com. And also, of course, I have to talk about my stars. As everybody knows, I have stars with a Z, psychics.com. That's a nice site with beautiful people. They're just beautiful. They, you know, sometimes I'll go in their chat and just to say hello. Oh, my God, it's so nice to hear from you. And it makes me feel good because I don't interact with them that much. And when I do, it's just like, you know, they make me feel really good. So that's stars with a Z, psychics.com. We have some specials going on for first-time clients. You have to be a first-time client only. We have 10 minutes for $10, 15 minutes for $15, and 25 minutes for $25. So, without further ado, I'm going to bring in my guest, and you know who he is because he's my co-host, and so let's welcome Al Diaz. How are you doing tonight, Al?
I'm doing really well, Natalie. How are you doing?
I'm good. We were just discussing, Al and I, about, you know, how we were doing today, and today is just some awesome day, and I, you know, sometimes I wonder why, but then Jackie, who does the astrology, I mean, I'm an astrologer too, but she said, well, I know why, and I said, why? She says, well, Jupiter is sitting in your 10th house. My 10th house is career, public recognition, being out there, interaction, and the 10th house is just out there. And she said, no wonder you're doing so well today, but it's 23 degrees, so it's not really making an aspect with my sun, right, because I'm 2 degrees, so it's pretty far away, but still. It's pretty good. There are other things going on, too, of course, as we know. Today is May Day also. And I want to get started on our topic. It is about authenticity. And Al came up with this topic, and I was telling him before the show that I really would like to do more topics. I think they're kind of fun, you know. I mean, you get interaction and your opinions and how you feel about things. So, Al, This was your idea for a topic, so I'm going to let you start with this. So, I mean, I do have your little notes on here that you sent to me. I'll tell you, authenticity for me, quickly, is, not quickly, I don't ever do anything quickly, but is authenticity is being real, is being you, being authentic. You show what you really are, not a phony, not an actor, not an actress, but who you really are. And we all know that, you know, people do roles on TV in the movies, and you have to also remember, people, that's their job. That doesn't mean anything about their authenticity. So, Al, let's start our discussion. I'm going to let you take it from here, okay?
Sure. And first of all, I got some new earphones. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you better now. Yeah, you have to really talk into them, yeah.
Okay, good. So, and if it ever gets to the point where you can't hear me, let me know, and I'll put the old ones back. But
okay.
So right off the bat, you know, you come into this life, to this journey, and obviously it all depends on who your parents are and your relationship with your parents. But pretty much by the time you're 2 years old, you know, your parents start telling you what to do and how to be. And they mean it in a loving way. You know, they love you and they want to take care of you. So they start, quote unquote, molding you to become what they prefer to see you as, or how they envision you to be. And as you get older, then you got friends that come into your life, and all of a sudden, you know, you want to fit in, or you want to become like one of your best friends or whatever. So, and they kind of start telling you, you know, what to do or how to be. And then you go to school and educational institution, and again, the teachers, you know, start telling you what to do and how to be. And if you get a job or if you get married, the same thing, you know, or religious institutions, you know, they start telling you what to do and how to be. So eventually what happens, and this probably happens by the time you're a teenager, you forget who your authentic self is, because when you first come into this world as a baby, you're innocent. You know, what I call original innocence. It's your authentic self. You haven't been influenced. You haven't been told what to do or how to be. You're you. Now, I get it, and I understand that we get guidelines. We get guidance in how to be the most, what's the word I want to look for, the most efficient person, for lack of better words, to function in life. You know, as a kid, as a teenager, as a young adult, as an adult, you know, we get guidelines or guidance in order to become the best possible person we can become. But the thing about that is we also accept a lot of other people's influences and opinions and perspectives, and we start bearing something that was true to us, you know, our own wisdom, our own truth. And we start becoming, this is where ego comes in, we become this false personality or ego. And then next thing you know, when people tell us to do something, if we don't stand up for ourselves or be firm about it, we just go with the flow and say, okay, this person's like a spouse. A spouse says, I want you to do this, or I want you to be like this, or how come you can't do this, or how come you can't do that? And you go with the flow because all your life you've accommodated, you know, either society, your friends, your spouses, your parents, you know, whoever. You accommodate because either you want to fit in or you just want to please. Oh, here's another way. You're a people pleaser. So you fit in. You try
a lot of people are like that, Al. They will just, like you said, go with the flow. And also another influence is church.
Correct.
The church.
Correct.
Is another thing. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I had to say something.
No, it's good. It's good. So here's the thing. So at what point do you wake up and say, what about me? You know, and to some people that becomes self-centered but in reality it's self-care. Because you are a priority. Each one of us is a priority. We are important. We do bring value to this world. Our authenticity brings value to this world. We all have gifts and talents and purpose that we were born with. But we don't get to fulfill or utilize any of that if we don't be our authentic self. Because what we become is what everybody else perceives us to be. We become what society wants us to be. We become what religion wants us to be. We become what the educational system wants us to be. We become what our spouses and friends want us to be. So then we become a little bit of everything for everybody else, but in reality, we're not even part of our own selves because we buried it, and we don't allow it to come to the conscious level or to fruition because we become everything else but our own true self.
Exactly. While you're talking, I'm thinking back to when I was really young. Of course, we know the story about me. I was alone all the time, so I had some friends here and there, but I'm wondering, how did I handle that? I mean, my story is just totally different. Usually you have a family life and I mean, we had dinners together and stuff, but the influence I did not have. But I can remember, Al, I must have been this was like 8 or 9. I'm vivid with that age because that's when I used to go to the airport all the time on Saturdays with my dad. So it's stuck in my mind. So I was a little bit then, I think, kind of independent. But you know what? I really wanted to please my friends. I remember thinking, oh, yeah, I better include them. I mean, I was always so worried that somebody wouldn't like me. So I certainly wasn't being my authentic self. I was trying to fit in, just like you said. And summers, I did not do that. Now, during school time, I did. I was more, you know, wanted to be around everybody and do what they were doing. But summertime was different. You know, I took it as my freedom, and I really did what I wanted to do, and I was alone. That's when I was alone a whole lot. But I probably learned how to express myself when I was by myself. But I can remember watching the two friends that I had. They imitated each other. They kind of like wanted to wear the same clothes. I don't know if it was like that for you, Al, but you want to be, and you're right, you want to fit in, so you want to do what everybody else is doing because it's scary not to. Think about that. It's scary. You're going to be an outsider. You're going to be, they're not going to, you know, ask you to do things with them. You're just going to be sitting at home alone, and I think that's the fear. But I don't know if people are like that, the young people are like that right now. What do you think, Al?
Well, so I want to
address something. Are they their authentic self?
Well, I want to address something you brought up, and I'll answer your question in a moment. So, and you and I are only a few years apart, but I don't know if you remember.
Oh, I wish that was true, but yeah, thank you. Yeah.
So, so here's the thing. So, and I'm sure you're going to remember this, and to wear something in this day and age, you would be laughed at. But remember bell bottoms?
Of course.
Okay. And there was a time period when they first came out. Eventually, they just kept getting bigger and bigger. I mean, I remember I bought bell bottoms that covered the whole shoe. You couldn't even see your shoe.
Yeah, they were long. You're right.
Yeah, and
yes,
they were big.
They were.
But if you wasn't,
and
you
wore the same kind of shoes.
Right.
Yes.
I forgot about that
clothing.
Yeah, if you were to walk around with that, that kind of clothing right now, you'd be laughed at. But here's my whole point.
You would be. You're right.
Yeah. So well, my point to all this is that's how we start losing ourselves because we, like you said, we try to fit in. You know, I mean, how silly were bell bottoms? I mean, it got ridiculous, but yet that was the style, and everybody wanted them because
really
everybody
was,
wanted to be like everybody else. You know, and
yeah.
It's the silliness of that, something so simple like clothing, that society or your friends or whoever, you know, it's their perspective that you have to be cool or good looking, you got to wear bell bottoms. But how silly is that, you know? But yet we did it. I did it. I wanted to fit in.
Oh, yeah, I did
wanted
it too.
To be like everybody else. Yeah. But yet,
I don't think anybody told you that, Al. I mean, nobody said, well, you know what? You have to do what they're doing because then you're going to fit in. It was just automatic.
Exactly.
Nobody told
me. It was automatic because from a very young age, and again, I'm not blaming anybody or anything like that, but at a very young age, our parents start telling us what to do and how to be. So we,
mm-hmm.
we start growing in that mold. Instead of being independent, but it sounds like you were, but for most humanity, instead of being independent, we're always becoming followers and listening to what everybody else has to say and not really being authentic and listening to ourselves. So when the bell bottoms came out in the late 60s or whatever it was, you know, people just started wearing them. Everybody wore them, you know, and because everybody wanted to be cool. But the silliness of it is if you wear them right now, you'd be laughed at. And because it doesn't look good. But yet back then, everybody loved them. And they loved them because nobody was being authentic.
Another thing was knee socks. Girls would wear knee socks, socks up to their knees. I remember that. You're making me go all the way back. And because you conformed. I had a friend, Al, who had, her hair was curlier than mine. I have natural curly hair, but hers was really curly. Tight, curly. And her mother would make these beautiful locks that would hang straight up and down. I wanted those so bad. But my hair, we could get them to be like that, but not quite. And, you know, everybody loved the locks, how her mother did them every morning. And I, you know, I ended up staying over there overnight. That's how I was shoved off into somebody else's house. But that was okay. I had a lot of good times there. But I would look at her, mother would do her hair, and I was, oh, my gosh, I would just wish I could have that. But mine wasn't curly enough. But it's funny because I don't recall anybody else that we hung around with that had those, not that they didn't try to have hair like that, but their hair was poker straight. They couldn't do it. I mean, they couldn't even come close. I could come close, but not them. But we think back to your childhood, everybody that's listening, what you used to do like everybody else. Oh, my gosh, I can remember so many things. Although, Al, I was kind of like a tomboy. I liked to play baseball with the boys in the neighborhood. I liked to play marbles. You know, you had all kinds of – they used to collect marbles. Yeah, they were cool. They had eyes. We used to call them eyes, and just the coolest marbles. And if you could guess how many were in my hand, you could have them. We would do that all day long. But my two girlfriends didn't do that.
No,
I did it. And maybe in a way I didn't conform to everything that they did. Maybe they were boring to me. I don't know. But you're bringing back some nice memories, Al. This is wonderful. It's always nice to think back, everybody, to when you were young. Think about the things you did because somebody else was doing them. And really, it's still the same today, Al, I think, pretty much. There's fashion trends, okay? There's shoes. Wedges were popular. I can remember, a long time ago. Now they're back. But I can remember my girlfriend, my best friend, wearing them, and I'd look at them and I'd think, oh, my God, your foot's on an angle. But I never got them because it was hard to fit for a shoe because my foot is so small and narrow, mostly narrow. And but probably, Al, if you think back, you're going to remember all the things that you did.
Absolutely. So now here, you just brought something, two interesting things I want to touch on real quick. So number one is back in the day, our day, you know, we used to go outside and play. And it was fun.
Yes.
I mean, I remember I couldn't wait to run out the front door to go out and play. I did not want to play. I didn't want to stay inside, except for maybe to watch cartoons. But other than that, I wanted to go outside and play. Nowadays, kids want to play videos or text on their phones, and that's it.
Right.
They hardly ever go outside anymore. They don't rush out that front door. Well, guess what? It's because they're following what everybody else is doing. Nobody goes outside and plays anymore. You know, unless they're involved in sports, nobody goes outside and plays anymore. Everybody stays in and either plays video games or texting. And that's so
now
how
people
long,
are probably
how
thinking,
long?
Well, what did you do when you went outside? Well, you all hung out together. Maybe you played some baseball. Maybe, you know, there was a thing called jacks. You could play, I had a little ball in jacks. You could play board games outside. We used to pretend that we were movie stars. We'd walk around and the girls would find long dresses that belonged to their grandmothers. Of course, I didn't know my grandmothers; they were in other states. But these long dresses and these, we'd walk around like we were movie stars. It was hilarious. Oh my God, the stuff I did.
It was
fun. But you would, and summertime. Oh my gosh, that was just the best because that's when the mornings were warm. You could go out at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and all the kids in the neighborhood would be out. My neighborhood, and I don't you think, Al, that this has changed. I don't think neighborhoods have kids like they used to have as many as what I'm saying. When I would go out, there was a ton of us within two blocks, all about the same age. It was unreal. We had the best time, except when I had to hit this boy in the face because he threw a rock at me. But that's another story. But there was and everybody got along. And I'm trying to think what else we did. We played baseball on the street. You can't do that now. Nobody does that now. But being authentic, I think some of us were authentic, Al. But not many. We just went with the flow. Whatever everybody else was doing, we did, you know?
And so now fast forward. And so two things I want to tell you on my journey. So by the time I became a freshman in high school, I started rebelling because I grew up in a family situation where my dad ruled the roost. And he was a typical Latino macho male guy that ruled the roost. And then my freshman year, I started rebelling, and I started growing my hair. And as you can tell in my picture now, I still have long hair because I rebelled. I didn't want to be a conformist. But I still would not be my authentic self. I just didn't want to be a conformist. And it wasn't until my early 40s when I started loving myself, and this goes back to self-love, that I started opening up and realizing that I really wasn't who I was. And as I started loving myself and I started tapping in and understanding who I am and realize that I do bring value to this world and realize how important I am and realize that I am a priority and realize that I do deserve the best, that's when I started opening myself up and started realizing my authenticity. But it took me 40 years to open up. And the reason why is because I got tired of the roller coaster ride. I got tired of the ups and downs. I wanted to have an understanding how humanity coexisted in the universe. I wanted to have a better understanding of who I am. But I went on that quest on purpose. It didn't just come to me. I literally said, okay, I've had enough. I need to figure out what I'm all about. I had a great job. I worked for corporate America. I was making pretty good money. I had a beautiful home. I had everything, but I still wasn't being authentic. You know, to go to a job from 9 to 5 and come home, have dinner, watch TV, go to bed, get up in the morning, have breakfast, and
do the same thing all
over again. That is an authenticity. That's just taking care of your bills and taking care of your responsibilities. But in real life, you know, when you tap into who you are, what brings you joy? What makes you happy? What brings you peace? What brings you love? You know, it's just along with you. You enjoy to some degree what you do, Natalie, and I applaud you for that. But most people out there, they don't know what the heck. They just do it because they have bills to pay or responsibilities to take care of. And there's very little joy in their life because they're not being
authentic.
You're
right. I'm fortunate. I have, the ability to do what I do with the magazine. I do it all myself, and I lay it out in the pictures. I mean, that gives me a lot of satisfaction. And I've said this before, that's one of the things that makes me really pleases me, is that when you have somebody send information that they want put in your e-zine, which means it's online, and they submit the article, they submit the image, and you send them back a link so that they can check to make sure everything is good on it, because I am not perfect. Nobody's perfect. I'm not. Sometimes I make little typos. I mean, it's rare, but I do. And then they'll send you this big thank you and hugs, and I just love you for doing this. And it's, you know, my son finally told me yesterday, Mom, you're here to service the world. Oh, geez, I don't think I'm servicing the world. He said, oh, no, I don't know, Mom. He said, yeah, there's more to you that's coming, and I just love helping, you know. I get a lot of joy in that. When I was little, now think back, and I don't know how this happened to me, Al. I must have helped then. I did. A deaf girl lived next door, and I became her friend. Nobody wanted to bother with her because she couldn't. You had to talk to her a certain way. And they were afraid of her, and they didn't want to do it, but I did. I'd sit on her porch, and we'd talk, and because I could talk like her so she could understand me. And so I guess I was helping then. I guess that was probably the beginning for me. But I go through, you know, I help a lot of people. I don't even tell you what I do. But I get joy in it, and I just feel that, you know, you can talk about checks and balances or pluses and minuses, and I want that side with all the pluses. I want lots of those pluses. I really do. So I just keep doing what I'm doing, and I'm able to. But I don't know when that changed for me. I don't know. Maybe when I almost died, maybe that changed it for me. Maybe I don't even think it started then, Al. I think it was later. I really do. Keep conforming? No, you didn't. You rebelled, see? You knew something was wrong. Not wrong. You knew something wasn't right for you.
Correct. And so what's interesting for me, so I'm going to tell you one of the things, one of my abilities. So I'm an eye gazer. I've always looked people in the eyes for whatever reason, and I always was able to pick up stuff from other people. But it wasn't until in my 40s that I specifically knew that I could look into somebody's eyes or even look at their heart space and see the light in them. I can even if it became a whole new persona and buried their light deeper than them, where it was barely a glimmer, I could still see their light, you know, either looking through their eyes or looking at their heart space. But I didn't realize that because that's my authenticity. I buried that the first 40 years. I ignored it. As a matter of fact, I probably thought it was normal. I thought everybody else can do it. But I didn't realize that not many of us can do that. And that was part of my awakening, my authenticity, saying, oh, wait a minute. I can see the light in that person. And I can see how much, you know, stuff has been buried in it. Because, you know, all the BS that they accepted throughout their life as truth, and it's not even true, but they accepted it, and now they buried their authenticity, but I can still see that glimmer of light within them. And that was one of my quote-unquote gifts, you know, that I can see the light. But I didn't realize it because I wasn't being my authentic self. And now I use it all the time. Anytime I meet a new person, I look at them, and I know their light. You know, I can bypass all the negativity and all the bad stuff and all the BS and all that junk. You know, I can bypass and go directly to the light and see how bright it is and see where they're at, because obviously the brighter the light, the more work they've done on themselves or with themselves. So that's being authentic. But it took me 40 years to wake up to it, to make me realize that I had something that I can utilize when I meet people.
Yeah, well, that's really like I said, I have no idea. I guess I am authentic. I mean, I feel that I am. I am what I am. I always say that to people. You know, I am what I am. That's it. I mean, I don't go with trends. I like to just, you know, I was kind of laughing. I was with my girlfriend Vera today. I'm saying her name on the air, but she's so much fun, and I said, you know, Vera, I just like to be a slob. She said, what are you talking about? I said, things don't matter to, I mean, things don't really matter, they don't matter to me, and I guess when I was even small, they didn't matter to me either. We didn't have a lot. I didn't have a lot, even though I was an only child, but I didn't miss a beat. It didn't bother me at all, and so I guess really, are you authentic? Are you using your authenticity? You are, Al. You are what you are, too. You're the same type of person. Yeah, you know, what you see is what you get. I am what you see.
I have a question for you, Natalie. If you could change one thing about yourself, or if you wanted to evolve into something else, what would it be?
And that appearance you're talking about, just like within or something?
Yeah, anything. It could be anything. What one change you would like to have, or what would you evolve into if you could?
Well, I am kind of a recluse. I mean, I go out, but I everybody knows I have three monitors. Those are like my friends, and I love to be in my home. I'll tell you this. I went away for a few days. And it took me 3 days to get acclimated to being in a different place. And I'd been there before, but it was the traveling. It was the, I was so out of myself. I can't even begin to tell you. I wasn't happy. And so I guess you know, I mean, I have my own abilities. I do what I do. I love what I do. I don't really need to do anything more. So to change about myself, that's a good question, Al. I don't. If somebody said, I'll give this to you. You can now do this. I don't know, Al. I mean, I must be pretty content with myself, I guess. I mean, maybe the ability to go out and venture off by myself. I've never liked to do that. I never wanted to do that. I usually always have to be with someone. And a lot of people and people that I know, oh, they love to be alone, out and alone. Well, I always look at it like, well, I'm home alone. You know, I like to talk to people. I like to, and because I don't have a car. I mean, I could get a car, but, you know, somebody said, well, you could do what you want to do. Yeah, but I'd be going to a store by myself. That's not what I want. I don't know, Al, if that's a change I would ask for, is the ability to go off and be happy alone. I mean, I'm alone here. So I don't know. I really, that's the only thing I can tell you, that I would probably be more happy, you know, be able to do that and to make the adjustment when I would have to go someplace. Like, can you imagine me, listen to this, you've been all over the world. Can you imagine me having to go on a plane by myself to California alone? Well, I can be assertive. There's another side to me. I wouldn't be this so forlorn woman who's, oh, my God, what do I do? Where do I go? I would speak up and ask. So I guess I could do that, but I've never traveled alone like that. So maybe to be able to do that, I guess that I would change that I could do. That would be very uncomfortable for me, but I could do it. I could really do it. I may not like it. You know, I may not like it. You know, I'd probably go up and down the aisles talking to everybody. Where are you from? And where are you from? You know, because you know me, I like to talk. So, yeah, that's the only thing. The ability to adapt to situations that you've never done before. How's that one? That's a good one.
That's a really good one. That's a really good one. So,
you know, like I said, can you imagine me traveling to California alone? I've been on a plane like maybe 4 times, but I've never gone alone. And my goddaughter, my God, she's been everywhere. And all she does is she's got a routine, see? She knows exactly what to do. That's something that I would really like to be able to do. But I think I could do it because there is a authoritative, assertive side to me that you really have to get me in the situation, but I could tell you. You don't want to go toe-to-toe with me. But, you know, I mean, I could do that, I guess, you know. So, yeah. But that's a pretty good one, huh?
Yeah, it is a good one. So let's go back a little bit deeper or further. If there's one thing that you wish you could have been or done in your childhood, what would it be?
This is really a good one. Okay, I got to think back here. I could do a lot of things, but I was very quiet, and I was, you know, I was a loner even then. Like, let's see, what would I have wanted to do? I was really good at running. I was a really good runner. I came in second in the school only, but I didn't know that we were going for something. I didn't know there was some kind of a, he said, well, you came in second. Well, who beat me? Well, she did. Well, you didn't tell me we were running for something. I mean, I wasn't running as fast as I could. I could have beat her. So, again, that comes back to being more assertive when I was young. I wasn't like that. I didn't want to stand out, Al, not at all. So, I don't know. What about you?
So wait a minute, Natalie. So what would you change? What would you want to be or do differently in your childhood?
From when I was young, little?
Yeah, when you were little.
What would I want to be? I wouldn't want to be teacher's pet, no. I'm thinking of school.
So what do you want to be? Not what you don't want to be. What would you have wanted to be? What would be different if you could wave a magic wand? What would you want to do differently?
I have a magic wand here, you know. It makes you laugh. I do. I have a magic wand. Let's see. What would I change it that I would want to be, right? You're telling me?
Yeah. Want to be or want to do?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, if I could have flown one of those planes, I would have. But of course I couldn't. I was only 8, 9 years old. But I don't know, Al. I really don't. I could change and I could have been something different or shine in some way, or I don't know. I don't know. You got me on the spot here now. Natalie's not usually on the spot. So, okay. I don't know. Give me some hints. I have no idea. Maybe there isn't anything. Is that possible?
Is it possible that you wanted to be more outgoing?
Well, you know, I did pull back. You know what I'm saying? And I would watch. I watched my friends a lot in school. Now I'm talking, this is like grade school, junior high.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't this little social butterfly, but I don't think I wanted to be that. I wouldn't want to be that. I'm not that. You know? I mean, like I'm really good on the on the air and talking, and I've never met you, Al. But you put me in a crowd, I probably would be very quiet and shy. I would observe. Isn't that strange?
No,
yeah,
actually,
I have another
that's
personality.
Cool. I'm also an observer.
I mean,
so
I would, unless somebody came up to me and started talking to me, I would never be that assertive with people like that. I guess you're probably right. More outgoing, more, you know, quick to talk to somebody. And, yeah, you're probably right about that. More assertive when I was a lot younger. I watched everybody. I just observed. And I'd look at them and I'd think, God, you guys are so stupid. But they really weren't. They just weren't not. They were not like me. I was different then, Al. Even then, I was different. I was not like them at all. But I didn't know what it was. You know, I didn't know by being different. And, you know, I've said this story before, that if they didn't come and get me when it was summertime and everybody was playing outside, like my two friends especially, they'd walk right by my house, I didn't care. I either turned the television on, I read my book, or I listen to music because I love music. I love, even when I work at my computer, I've got my headset on. And I would do that, and I didn't miss a beat. I didn't need
okay,
them.
So,
isn't that
okay,
strange?
So let me ask you one final question. And so fast forward, and let's say in your childhood you would have been more assertive or outgoing, and let's say in your adulthood
–
you would have become more adaptable to scenarios like flying in a plane or the whole bit or meeting people, adapting.
Right, right.
How different would your life
being adaptive,
be? How different would your life be right now if you would have been more assertive in your childhood and more adaptable in your childhood? How different would your life be right now?
I don't know, because I like it so much. I can't even imagine myself doing anything different.
Okay, let me reword it then. How much more enhanced would you be with your gifts and your talents that you utilize right now if you were more assertive and more adaptable?
I could probably, you know, I'm an empath, so I don't even know if I was that when I was younger, but I probably could read people better, but I don't care to do that. See, so it's hard to imagine what you could have done or been. Like for me, you can see just by some of the things that I'm not this little social butterfly. I would be very difficult for me. I could talk. I could, you know, like you and I and the Spanda have talked about me being on stage. I could never do that. Oh, if you dragged me up there and I knew who I was standing with, I could probably do that. But it would not be my cup of tea, as they say. No, I'll just stand in the back and you guys do all the work. No, I'm just not like that. So you see, and even then, back when I was really young, I didn't like to be out in front, you see? So if I could have changed that, I don't know what I would be. Hell on wheels, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I do pretty good right now. And I have to say this. I've really just come into my own. Isn't that strange? I was not like this always. I would hold back. I wouldn't talk very much. And that's one of the gifts that I have that I've uncovered is that I can carry a conversation, and I really, really like it. I mean, I enjoy it, and I love new people. So what else do you want to know, Al? I probably would be hard to deal with, I guess. I don't know. I like who I am.
No.
I really do.
Awesome. So for your audience, and thank you for sharing everything that you just told us. But for your audience, you know, for most of humanity, actually, people are tired of being told what to do and how to be. I went to China not too long ago to go speak over there for 16 days. And because not only is the communities there are suppressed, but if you're female, you're even more suppressed because it's a very male-dominating society. And when I started doing one-on-ones with the females there was a lot of emotion going on. A lot of them cried.
Uh-huh.
Here's a perfect example. In the Asian culture, a female does not look a male in the eye. It's for a female to stare at a male.
They're subservient, aren't they?
Yeah. Yes. And so when
can
I
you imagine
had
me
my,
walking around? Oh my God, with my big mouth? No, I could do that. I could be quiet.
So when I had my one-on-one sessions with the females, you know, there was a lot of emotion because, you know, they were honored that I allowed them to look into me, into my eyes. They were honored that I was
mm-hmm.
being open and truthful because they were always being told what to do and how to be. They were fed up. They were tired of it. Even though that's how they grew up, even though they were raised in that society, by the time they were in their 30s and 40s, they had enough. They knew there had to be something better. But yet, when I was there, you know, I introduced to them that, hey, you know what? You have the ability to choose. But in that society, you know, they drown it out that you have freedom of choice. You know, they make you think this is the way it's got to be. This is the way you have to do it. This is how you're going to be. This is how you're going to do it. And so it was phenomenal in the sense of for 1 hour during our sessions, they had freedom. And as I mentioned, it got very emotional. Even in the Latino community, and you know, it's family comes first, and because
yeah.
I was raised in that kind of a family scenario, family comes first. You're second, third, fifth, tenth, 12th, or 30th. You're at the bottom rung because family comes first. And then as you grow up, you wonder, what about me? You know, when do I matter? Do I just go to work and to pay the bills? Do I just do the things that I do to take care of my responsibilities? Do I go to school
yeah.
thinking I'm going to get this great job, you know, to get an education? Is everything I'm doing because society told me or my family or my culture or my religious background told me to do it? Or am I doing it because I want to do it because it feels right within me?
How do these women, a lot of countries are like that. The women are subservient. They are basically nothing. There's never, you don't hear an uprising with women. It's rare. They need me to lead the pack. But, you know, I think about that sometimes. And think about that, Al. They're not being their authentic self. They're conforming to what
correct.
Their mother did and their mother
correct.
And their mother, right?
Right. They're pre-programmed. They're programmed in their
right.
womb. It's passed on through their DNA and the characteristics and their cultural background and blah, 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 blah. So here's the answer. Here's the answer to all authenticity. And it all comes down to self-love. It all comes down to caring enough about yourself that, look, I'm going to love myself because I'm going to figure out who I am. I'm going to love myself because I'm going to remember who I am. I'm going to love myself enough that I'm going to change my DNA. I'm going to love myself enough that I'm going to change my characteristics. I'm going to love myself enough that I'm going to deprogram what I thought of who I was. I'm going to love myself enough to get rid of what no longer serves me. I'm going to love myself enough to remember my authentic self. I'm going to love myself enough that I have feelings. I'm going to love myself enough that I have emotions. I'm going to love myself enough that I have my own perspective. I'm going to love myself enough that I have an understanding of the value that I bring to this world. I'm going to love myself to understand that of the value that I bring into my own life.
It's tough to love yourself sometimes. Well, I don't know if people really think about it, to tell you the truth. Do they think about it? You know?
No. Because they don't think about it because you're listening to everything else. You're listening to what social media says, what the TV says, what the movies say, what society says, what religion says, what educational system says, what your family says, what your cultural background says, what your country says. Everybody's telling you what to do and how to be. You know, so at one point, you know, in a 24-hour period, when do you make time to love yourself? When do you take, and for those, and meditation is fairly new in the Western society. When do you take time to meditate and understand and reconnect to who you are? You know, so not only self-love, but also meditation to listen, because that's when you listen. Everybody else in Western society prays, and that's okay, that's awesome, but when do you take time to listen? When do you take time to listen?
Yeah, you know, I meditate every day. Well, I'm quiet, but I think I do it more than once a day. Because
awesome.
it's a way to, it alters me. I don't do it just because I'm wound up. I don't ever get wound up like that. I just, if I'm sad about something or something's bothering me, I get this decision. I'm going to go sit with my cat. And I sit there and nothing is on, just my cat. And I go off into this zone that is just a beautiful place. And then when I decide, I don't know that I decide to come out of it or come back, I just get up and, okay, off I go, doing things. And I'm not missing a beat. I'm not sad, whatever reason that I started to meditate. It's not bothering me anymore. I'm not even thinking about it. It's kind of like taken away. Which is really nice if you can do that. A lot of times I'll daydream. I like to daydream. Sometimes the daydreams are more real than you can imagine, though. I mean, they can slip you over. You can slip over into the real, into another plane by just starting a daydream. I mean, I do that all the time. And then you start to get visions. You start to see things in your head. So when you meditate, a lot of things can happen for you. It depends upon who you are, what abilities you already have. But I do it a lot. And I'm not stressed when I do that. And that's the truth. I connect to the higher source. I connect to God. That's exactly what I do. And I can't. And I'm better. It's better for me. It's healthier for me.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you rarely ever go to in public. But so when I go out to the streets, wherever I go in whatever country I'm in, I see a lot of zombies. I see a lot of people that are tired. I see a lot of people that are exhausted.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people that they're like robots. They're just going through the motions. And they're tired. They're really tired. And you know what? They don't even know why they're tired. They'll get 8 hours of sleep, and then the next morning, they don't want to get up because they're still tired. They're tired because they're living a life that doesn't serve them. They're living a life that doesn't feel right. They're living a life that doesn't feel good. And that's because they don't take care of themselves by meditating or loving themselves. They don't give themselves the opportunity to be rejuvenated, to re-energize. Because they don't know. They just think this is how life is. These are the cards they were dealt with. And it's not going to get any better. And this is the way it is. Even though they can hope and pray and do everything else they do, they think this is the way it is. These are the cards that were dealt with for them. And so they're just going to fulfill their destiny as is because this is the way they think it's supposed to be. But in reality is, when you take time for yourself to really, really go on a quest to understand who you are and realize your authenticity, to remember to love yourself, to meditate, to be re-energized and rejuvenated, then life becomes a whole new ball game. It's like a flower blossoming.
Yeah.
Because the flower right now, the petals are closed because you're tired, you're exhausted, you know, you're overwhelmed.
Like the lotus.
Exactly. And when you start meditating and when you start loving yourself, the lotus opens up, the flower opens up, and you become the new you, the real you, your authentic self.
I like that. But it does take work.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, by no means am I going to tell you it's easy, but it is simple. It's very simple to do, but it takes work. You know what? A person has to...
Oh, I know what else I would like to have had. More, and I think it goes hand in hand, is self-esteem. I look at people, and I'm going to say about my friend, she passed away, but she, you know, her daughter is my goddaughter, but... She would say to me, you walk in a room like you own it. She could do it. I saw her. I would be like this little wallflower. Like, isn't that strange? I guess I would still be the same. Even how I am right now, I would still be off to the side. I like to watch. I like to view what's going on. People watch, you know? And so I think more... But that's part of loving yourself. When you have self-esteem, that's part of that, too.
So, Natalie, what if we combined high self-esteem with observing or watching simultaneously? There's nothing wrong with observing and watching. As a matter of fact, I'm an observer, too. I like watching. But here's the thing. Can you imagine doing it from the foundation of high self-esteem? How different would your life be right now?
Yeah, I don't even know if I would like myself if I had a lot of self-esteem, because the only thing I would like to change about myself is the ability to venture off into something, like flying from South Carolina over to California by myself. Now, that would be a venture. But it wouldn't take me very long to adapt, Al. I really don't think so. But it, something like that, you're afraid. It's scary. Oh, my God, where do I go? What do I do? I've never done this before. So what do? You ask. That's what you do. And you admit that you've never done it before, so can you give me some help? And that's how I learned most things in my life, is asking and admitting that I didn't know how to do it, not coming off like, well, I know it all. No, I was never like that, never. I even helped kids in school. No. But, that's what I would like, I guess.
And I'm sure you've flown
by yourself, right?
Yes, I have. And so here's one more thing that I want to bring up. So if you're surrounded by people, and I'm talking to your audience, if you're surrounded by people that are always telling you what to do or how to be, or here's one, why don't you be more like me? Or why don't you do it the way I do it? If you're surrounded with people like that, then you it's time for you to rethink your priorities. Because if you have people around you that talk to you that way, then you have very low self-esteem. Because you know what? Because as I mentioned earlier, you matter. You are important. You are a priority.
Yeah, I don't have people like that around me. I'm very fortunate. I don't.
Good. So you're blessed. But many people are surrounded with those kind of people. They always talk, do it. Why don't you do it like me? Or why don't you be more like me? Or why don't you do it the way
right.
I
or
do
why
it?
Why do you do it that way? You should do it this
exactly.
way.
Correct. And so here's the thing. Rethink your priorities. Rethink your self-value. Rethink your self-worth. Because if you're continuously being told what to do and how to be, that tells me that you're not living authentically. That tells me that you're going to continue to be a follower. Here's the bottom line to all this. Be a leader, but be a leader for yourself first. Because it doesn't, you don't have to be a leader for the masses or for the classroom or for your job or whatever. But what's important is to be a leader of yourself. So that way you can have a fulfilled life.
Right. Well, I don't think that I'm a leader, but yet I can't be led. You see what I'm saying? I can't. I'm not really a follower. I don't conform to stuff like that. I don't. I think too much. I reason with it. I don't. You know, I don't have to do what you're doing. What you're doing is not good. What you're doing is wrong. I'm not going to do it.
Natalie,
so I am disciplined. That's an ability that I have. I'm very disciplined, yeah.
So
I can be.
So let me tell you. So, Natalie, you are a leader, because if you weren't a leader, you would not have everything that's going on in your life right now.
That's true. But it was dumped in my lap, in the beginning of it was. But, I like, I guess I am. I am.
Okay.
I know somebody's listening, and she's going to say to me, oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. I know, but she always listens to the show. But
does somebody or something or someone passed the baton on to you, and you took the baton and ran with it, and look what you've created.
I ran like hell.
Yeah.
I did. I never looked back, right? I don't even know if it was a baton. I don't know what it was, Al.
Okay. But in your own right, you're a leader of your own well-being. You're a leader for your own self. You're a leader in your own business. You're a leader for humanity in your own right. You bring value to this world. So I applaud you for what you do.
Thank you. That's what I'm trying to do. I talk to God every day. You know, I have this little dissertation, kind of, you could call it. You know, and I'll say to him, you know, what's going on here is really bad, but if you would like me to help, I mean, I do have a magic wand here. I really do. But really, I need a lot more help here. So let's pick up the speed here. Get with it. So I talk to him, poor thing. And because, you know, he probably, you know, I think of him. Some people don't think of him as a he, but a she. Well, that doesn't matter. I think of him, he's a he to me. And he's just the highest. There's nothing higher. There's nothing. He's the ultimate. And so I go right to him. And if I want to tell him something, I don't like what's going on, he hears it from me. He probably thinks, oh, here she is. She's got something else to complain. I'm not complaining. Just give me the ability to fix it. I would love to fix a lot of things. I would love to right a lot of the wrongs. And that would be good for me. I would like that a lot. But then again, see, that's like, you know, it's like giving. I like to give. I like to help. And like even my son sees it. He says, Mom, that's what you are. That's what you do. Yeah. And I don't feel sorry for people. I understand their situation, and I like to assist. And so I do when I can. So thank you, Al.
You're welcome.
We have to do this again. You have to pick another topic.
I'm there for you.
Because the hour is almost up. I mean, were we talking that much? My goodness, I didn't think we were blabbering that much. But next week, Al will be with me. And the following week, Al, oh my goodness, 3 weeks in a row. Okay, we have two guests coming up. Yes, you see, you cannot escape. Next week we have a beautiful guest. I've already talked to her on the phone. And then we have a son and a mom the following week. And then, Al, I don't know when do I... Well, Al, we're going to do this again. All I know is you're very uplifting. You make the world a better place, and I enjoy talking to you because you have a lot of wisdom. And we complement each other, I think.
Thank you for the kind words, and I agree.
Yes. And he agrees. I got to have you agree. I mean, what if you don't agree, then we're going to be arguing on the air here, right? And then I want to thank Candy. Candy does all the marketing and everything. You know, you'll see it on Facebook. And she's been doing Instagram, and she's in the chat right now. And
hello, Candy.
Candy, she's listening. She's done some nice little videos and put them on Instagram, and I don't always post every day. You know, I do these healing energy cards that I have a friend of mine that does them, and I don't do them every day. I used to, but now, you know, Candy's bringing in a little bit of something different. I like that. But all the stuff on Facebook and Twitter you see from Candy, she's done it. Now, I'll be promoting all of the stuff from the magazine. I'll do all that. But everything else Candy does, and I want to thank her, and she's a beautiful person, and I love her dearly, and I tell her she's got magic hands. She's probably laughing because she does. I'll say, okay, get your magic hands together and whip this up, and she does it, and she's just really great. And, of course, you know Jackie. You don't know Jackie, but Jackie does my copy. She's the one that she keeps all the lists together and, you know, the list for stars, and she does a lot for stars and not as much for Mystic Living Today. Actually, Mystic Living Today is my baby anyway, so I take care of that. And I want to tell everybody we have something new coming up for stars. It's going to get us really out there to reach people that don't even know we exist. It's going to be in the Google App Store, and it's not a cell phone app, because we can do cell phones now. This is something different. I've already seen it, and it's really cool. But it's going to be unique to what is there now. You know, you can go there, and you could get, you know, readings and all of it. This is going to be just really, really, really cool. And stars needs to be there. And so that's going to happen. The end result is coming through. I think Tony's about ready with it this weekend, and my son and I are going to look at it. My son is kind of involved with this because my son is this app player. You know, he plays all these things. He just, Mom, you got to do this and you got to do that. So in essence, what it's going to kind of be is you will be able to earn tokens for anything that you spend. You'll get some tokens or something like that. I haven't figured it out yet. And you'll be able to redeem them for readings on stars. So you see, it's kind of like it brings you back to where it all began, stars. And so I'm excited about that. We have an illustrator. We're going to have our own tarot deck, believe it or not. I haven't chosen. There's 10 of them that have submitted all of their illustrations for us to look at, for me to look at. I make the choice. So we're going to have that, and then we'll start selling those. A lot of good things coming. See, that's what I like, Al. I like innovation. I like, you know, projects. And we had a project we thought was going to go, an event. And like you said, maybe it's just on hold right now, and that would be good, right?
Right.
And so we'll see what happens with that. But be thinking up another topic, because I don't have anything, I don't think, for the 29th of May, as I know right now.
Hello?
Hi, everybody. It's me. I got cut off. The only reason I got cut off is my ear hit the button, and I don't think I still have Al. So come back, Al, because we still have time, and I'm sorry about that. But I'm back on. Oh, well, yeah, I guess I was just talking too much. You know, when Natalie talks too much, she just gets cut off. But anyways, I'm having Al call back, and then we're going to finish out the show the proper way because that's how I like to do it. I don't really like to just say, oh, she's gone. So let's wait a moment for Al to get back, and I hope he can come back. Let me see. Is he going to come back? Yeah. Come on, Al. Oh, and I got somebody laughing. My ear, you know how sometimes you can disconnect by your face, and that's what I did. I was just having such a great time. So please forgive me, everyone. I'm just waiting for Al to come back. Al, where are you? Oh, tell us more about the new thing. Somebody wants to know. Well, this new thing, we'll start talking about that. It's going to be stars-oriented. You'll be able to connect with my readers, do a one-on-one, ask a question for those that are available. It's really cool. I've already seen how it works, but I won't see anything now again until Saturday. And Tony, my webmaster, has been online. You know, he was on like all day Saturday. I mean, usually he doesn't work on Saturday unless I call him for something or another job comes through that he has to, you know, take care of. There's always issues when you run websites. There's always something. Stars, for the most part, runs really smooth. It really, really does. Let me see if Al's calling back. Come on, Al. Call back. E.T., call back. So this new idea, it's not just going to be, I mean, you'll be able to download the app for free, and there'll be a very small charge, and then you'll be able to ask one question, and then you can ask a second question, and you can ask as many questions as you want for the small fee, and you can choose who you get the answer from, and I'm debating about that, or you can just get somebody random, but I don't think I'm going to do random. Because oftentimes they'll be able to read the bios. Say, for example, you wanted somebody. I won't be doing it, but my staff will be doing it. I call them my staff, but they're real sweet. But they really are. They'll be doing it, and you'll be say you wanted to ask one of my stars, and you can choose them from a list. There'll be their pictures there, and you'll be able to read their bios, and it's going to be really, really cool. So it's going to be a complex kind of thing, not just download the app and have a card pulled for you, and then it's done by a computerized thing. Al is calling back. Yay, Al is calling back. Because we have 2 hours set here, and we're just like after the hour here. Well, come on, Al. How long does it take to call back, right? God, I can be. We were talking about myself not being assertive. I can be assertive. I can. I don't really. I only do it when I have to defend somebody. Oh, here he is. Okay, here's Al. There you are.
Sorry about that. I got disconnected somehow. I wasn't sure what was going on.
No, I disconnected the show. And so that's why I wanted you to call back because I. You know how sometimes the phone is right there, right where the disconnect is, the button is there, and I must have moved my face on it or something, but I had everybody laughing, I'm sure. Well, I was just talking too much, and so it got cut off. Time to end. Time to stop the show. But anyways, we'll do this again. I want everybody to know because I think this is good for you as well as me. And when you have a good sense of things, and I was telling everybody about the new stuff that's coming along. It's going to be really nice. And I got a text from somebody, tell us more about the new things. Yeah, this is going to be cool. I don't know. We'll have to wait for the app to be developed, and I don't think it's going to take that long because our end will be done by the time this guy has it, and he'll know what to do. So he's going to be off on his own. Tony will do all the connection. But it's going to be really, really cool. So, Al, I have the 29th open. Right now I'm trying to do a switch with somebody else. I have a lot of people that want interviews. And that's fun to do that, you know. It really, really is. But it's nice to talk about topics because that's life. You know, we are talking about what's going on with the people that are listening. What, how can you fix something for you? Not listening to somebody that's got a book that's a bestseller, right? It's different. It's a different realm of people. But I like to divert things a little bit. So we will do this again. Just send me what you think. You got some ideas, and we'll do it, okay?
Absolutely. You know, because I love you, right?
Oh, and I love you too, Al. Al and I, people should understand this. Sometimes you knew each other in another life. You know, have you ever had like an instant rapport with somebody? Like it's just, oh, God, yeah, okay. Like, you know, I'll use a girlfriend, for example. It's just right there. Everything, there's no animosity, there's no jealousy, there's no nothing. Well, Al and I were in another lifetime together. I'm almost certain of it because we hit it off right away. Yeah, I love you too, Al. So we will do this again. And thank you, everybody, for coming and listening. And even though everybody got cut off, but you really didn't, that's just one of the things that Natalie can do. I can just switch it on and off. But anyways, I'm sure Candy's laughing. She's thinking, yeah, that sounds like her. That's what she can do. But it's been a fun show. We all laughed and we smiled, and that's what you want to do. You want to bring goodness and happiness and love to those that are listening. And believe it or not, people listen to the show after it's, you know, after we've done it, because it's sitting on blogtalkradio.com/StarsCast. All the shows are there from the very, very beginning. And I've been doing this, I don't know, Candy will remind me because she knows. It's probably six years, I think. On Valentine's Day we started it. 6 years. And I missed 3 months, of course, and then Al brought me back. He was the one that brought me back on the radio. So we have to thank Al for that.
Thank you.
So I probably wouldn't have done it. I probably wouldn't have, but I'm really glad I'm back. I like to let everybody know how much they're loved and what Natalie is really like. I'm not just this powerful woman sitting behind all my computer and my monitors and stuff. I'm really very kind and loving and generous and probably to a fault, but I really love people. What happened to the ad audio? Well, Candy, if you were listening, I disconnected us. That's going to be the big joke. You know what the big joke is with my webmaster? Sometimes he forgets to save things, and he'll say, well, go check this out. And if it's not there, we're on the phone. Tony, did you save it? And he'll laugh. Yes, I saved it. But that's our joke. You know, he'll say it to me. Yes, I saved it. Yes, I saved it. I'm telling her right now that I got disconnected, that's all. So anyways, okay, well, that's it for tonight. We had a great, great night, great show, great night. And Al will be back with me again next week, and we'll have our guest on, and I'm going to tell you who she is. And then the following week, we have a mother and son coming on the show, and Al will be with me then. So until next week, I'm going to end my show like I always do. And that is believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. Trust me, they are. And I love you, Al. I love you, Candy. I know you're listening. I know she's listening. And much love to everybody out there. We'll see you next week. Now I'm really going to disconnect. Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.